In Jesus' name, amen. Would open your Bibles to our main text, Matthew chapter 7. Tonight we're continuing this series on surviving the storms of life. And in this series, we are talking about God's principles for victorious living. You know, the storms, they come. They're going to come. They're coming to everybody. And if you're going to survive in this storm, the storms of life, you're going to have to build your life on what the Word of God has to say in every area of your life. Matthew 7:24, we've been using this as our basic text. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." I started to leave this other out, but look at verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not." There's a positive side and a negative side. If you don't do them, you shall be like unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Tonight I want to talk about surviving the storm of guilt. You know, these lessons, they are relevant. These lessons, they are pertinent. They're pertinent to the and relevant to the issues of life because the storms we face, they are very real. I talk to people all the time. I was praying with someone today, and they were really down. And I'm trying to give them some instructions on how to praise God. I know the storm is real. I said, I've been through a similar storm that you're going through. And I said, but I have something that some people, they don't have. I have the Word, and I have experience. And if you live long enough, you're going to have some experiences. Well, you're going to have some storms. And, you know, when you go through a storm, it should profit you. The Bible says the word was preached unto them as well as unto us, talking about the children of Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I said, let me tell you something, devil. If I'm going through a trial, if I'm going through a test, I'm not doing business for nothing. I'm going to profit from this. It'll drive me to my knees. You've heard me say it. All it ever do is drive me to my knees. And when I come up, I will be stronger in the Lord and the power of his might than I have ever been. And that's what we should do. We should profit from the trials and the tests and the storms of life rather than letting those things get us down. Unto them was the word preached as well as unto us. The word preached to them, it didn't profit them. They didn't mix faith with it. And if you'll mix faith with what you go through and base your life on the rock of God's word, you'll survive the storm and you'll come forth more than a conqueror. Tonight we're going to talk about the storm of fear. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the blood. We sing about that blood tonight. And Lord, you said we're more than conquerors. You said, I will always cause you to triumph in Christ. You said, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You said, no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. You said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we're kingdom people. Thank you that your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And no matter what the storm, praise God, we're coming forth in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Guilt, the storm of guilt. You know, guilt is a part of the human conscience. We all make mistakes. We all have problems. Life can deal you some crushing blows. And I'm going to tell you something. That's reality. But my reaction to life's problems, that determines whether I will be a victor or whether I will go down in defeat. God does not want us to be a victim. He wants us to be a victor, and that's why we must find forgiveness and peace and joy in God. Think about that kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And he said, the kingdom of God is within you. It is righteousness. You have a right standing with God. It is peace. You have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And joy, you have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And the enemy is always trying to get us to sin. That takes us out of our righteous standing. So, but if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and restore us to righteousness. If our peace is gone, we just go to God. He's the God, the author of peace. He's the author of faith. And joy is the same way. So he wants his righteousness, his peace, and his joy to rule and reign our lives. And the devil wants to try and take it away. And so he hits you with the storms of life. And what you have to do is say, I believe God's word. And that's a law called Romans 8:28, that God is working everything to my good, and I know he'll do it. So God does not want us to be the victim. One of the greatest problems in this life that we face is called guilt. I see people all the time that because of guilt, they cannot go on. So I looked this word guilt up in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, and it's defined as an act or a state of having done wrong or committed an offense. It goes on to say that guilt is produced by wrongdoing, a crime, or sin. So how do you overcome this guilt complex that so many people face? Well, first of all, you got to come to God, and then you've got to confess your sins. Get them washed in the blood. That's what we were singing about tonight. And once they're washed in the blood, then you forsake all sin. So, you know, so many people, they come to God, they confess their sin, God forgives them, and instead of forsaking their sin, they continue to live in their sin. Now, you cannot get rid of guilt and condemnation like that, because if you continue to live in sin, you've got the same old problem. That problem is there, and the only way you can ever get rid of it is to confess it to God, get it forgiven, and then forsake it, turn from it. Look at Romans 8:1. I love this verse of Scripture. This was very helpful to me as a young Christian, because I found myself, you know, needing everything in my life change. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now, say now with me, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you got to confess your sin, forsake your sin, and then you've got to walk after the Spirit, seeking to please God so that you do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So the Bible, it tells us how to live our lives. And so many people, I was telling someone the other day, I said, so many people want to know how far can I go and how far out on the border can I live and still be a Christian. I said, I've never been like that. I want to know how close can I get to God and still be on planet Earth. Amen. I believe that's how we ought to live right there. How close can I get to God and still be on planet Earth? Point number one, who feels guilt? Who has this thing? Who feels it? Only human beings have guilt feelings. Animals, they have no guilt complex. It doesn't matter what they do, they just do not have a conscience. Humans have a conscience. When they do wrong, the human conscience produces guilt, and guilt is universal. If a bear came out of the woods and ate a little child, that bear, he does not feel bad at all about doing that. It's just inbred in him to do that. He has no conscience about having done wrong. Point number two, what is the guilt complex? What is it? Well, guilt is a part of the human conscience, and guilty feelings, they are the result of broken laws. Those laws can be God's laws, man-made laws, or natural laws. But whenever you break a law, that thing produces guilt. Whenever anybody transgresses God's law, man's law, or natural law, they begin to experience this thing that we call guilt. Now, everybody in here, we all have made mistakes. Every one of us have been guilty of doing something wrong. That's why we should be quick to forgive others. We're all disappointed when others do wrong. Have you ever noticed when family members, something goes wrong, they flare up? What causes that is they are expecting more out of that person. And when that person does wrong, that's really the time that they need compassion, they need forgiveness, and they need love. Love is a conqueror, and I can attest to that. But we're disappointed in others when they do wrong. And if we aren't quick to forgive, then what we do is we cause even more suffering. And when you think about how God has forgiven us, we should be quick to forgive others. So, and the reason for that is because guilt is a tormentor. Guilt will torment you. But if you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ. Now, put 2 Corinthians 5:17 up there if you would. It's not in those notes. When you get saved, anything you've ever done in your past, the blood of Jesus washes that sin away. You should never feel guilty about it again. And I'm going to give you a scripture later on that even attests to that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there's your key right there. Are you saved? Are you in Christ? Here's a new creature, a new creation, some translations say. A new creation. You're God's creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. No matter what you did, they're all gone. They're under the blood. And all things have become new. And it goes on to say, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. We are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So guilt is a tormentor, and it will cause you to lose your peace, to lose your joy, to lose your tranquility. And when you sin, any type of sin, you need to repent, get that sin under the blood. Point number three, how did this guilt complex begin? Where did it come from? If you want to understand something, you've got to know the origin of it. The guilt complex was first identified and recorded in Genesis. Adam and Eve deliberately transgressed against God's revealed plan and his purpose. They disobeyed God. They broke his law. And when they did, sin produced the guilt complex. It was sin that did. That's your root right there, sin. You got to know that. Because sin produces this. When you break God's law, man's law, or natural law, this thing called guilt, it begins to work on you. It is a tormentor. I promise you that. So when we do wrong, we have these feelings. And these feelings, they can produce godly sorrow, which is positive. Or they can produce worldly sorrow, which is negative. Now, the Bible deals with both of these issues. There is a positive guilt that produces godly sorrow. There is a negative guilt that produces worldly sorrow. One saves you and the other sends you in the wrong direction. Look at 2 Corinthians 17. This is powerful. 2 Corinthians 17, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Not to be regretted is what newer translations say. It works a salvation not to be regretted, okay? It is once the work is done, you're forgiven, it is done. It's not to be regretted. It's not has to be repeated. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be regretted. You don't have to live in regrets anymore. That was revelational to me as I was preparing this. I've quoted that scripture many times, but I saw that little phrase, not to be repented. What does it mean? Not to be regretted. That you don't have to regret your past. You don't have to regret anything that you've ever done in this life because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my guilt? Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my shame? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Shout it with me. Nothing but the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, those songs were right on tonight. Amen. So when you disobey God, that produces guilt. Or if you break a natural law, a man's law. A baby does not have a guilt conscience. Think about that. A baby does not have a guilt complex. And this sense of guilt is something that comes to us through transgression. That's the only way it can show up in your life. Something you did wrong. And the devil will torment you with it if you let him. And you've got to know. You can never have joy. You can never have the peace. You can never understand the righteous relationship you have with God until you let God deal with this thing I'm talking about tonight. It's a tormentor, and it will run you in the wrong direction. Amen. When we sin, and we're truly sorry for our sins, and we confess them to God, that type of repentance brings salvation. And then that's that other type of sorrow that I talked about. It brings death. Some people have no godly sorrow for their sins. They're only sorry that they got caught. And that type of sorrow is a negative sorrow. It's a negative guilt. I'm sorry I got caught. And it does not bring salvation. The only thing that can bring salvation is, God, I'm sorry. I sinned against you, and I need forgiveness. Worldly sorrow brings death because guilt is a killer. The only way you can get rid of guilt is through the blood. And that's the truth of the matter. If you try any other way, you will have guilty feelings, and the human conscience will produce what we call a guilt complex, because guilt is a killer. It destroys your life, it destroys your happiness, it destroys your joy, it destroys your peace, and it will ultimately destroy your health and your life if you let it. Godless sorrow brings salvation when you confess your sins and forsake them. Look at Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's what I was talking about earlier. You've got to confess your sins, then you've got to forsake your sins. Because if you don't forsake them, you got the same old problems. You got the same old issues of life to deal with. The key to the whole thing is to receive God's forgiveness, then forsake it. Look at Proverbs 28:13 again. Because many people in America, they carry a guilt complex. Even though they have confessed their sins, they have never forsaken them. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you want God's mercy, then you got to do it God's way. Put Psalm 1:1, 2, and 3 up there. I want to show you the downward progressive path of sin. He that walketh not. You find it yet? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 3. Verse 2. His delight, the godly person's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And God said, if you'll do that, you will be, verse 3, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So now let's go back and look at Proverbs, that scripture we were just looking at, Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Whosoever confesseth them and forsakes them shall have mercy. Pretty simple, isn't it? So the blessed man, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to what the ungodly has to say. He does not walk in their counsel. He does not stand with the sinner when they say, this is right and we're going to do it. He says, no, that's not right. And he does not sit down in the seat of the scornful. And God was dealing with me that scorn recently. That happens to do with talking about people and saying things and doing things. And we all are disappointed in people, but don't let that scorn become a thing called hatred, because the devil will move in on anything. You better believe it. Point number 4, guilt can be a deceiving lie. Now, by that I mean that guilt can rest on a lie just as easily as guilt can rest on the truth. It can rest on a lie. Now, many times war veterans, they cannot forget the traumas of war, and they feel guilty about the things they did in battle. They're tormented. I told you earlier, guilt is a tormentor. It will torment you day and night. It will drive you into loneliness if you will let it. They feel like they have murdered. And as a result of that, many times war Veterans, they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, and they turn to substance abuse for relief. They just cannot forget the things they did in war. They cannot get it out of their mind. But I don't feel in my spirit that a man that is in the armed forces serving his country, who acted by a command to carry out a certain duty, I don't feel like that man is a murderer. He didn't have it in his heart to do it. You know, thou shalt not kill means thou shalt not murder. A lot of people get that mixed up. If you are in a war and you're serving your country and you have to carry out orders, it will bother your mind, but don't let it produce a guilt complex. And so many people that come home from war, they cannot forget those things, the atrocities of war, and seeing, you know, they may not have done it directly, but all of those ammunitions that are going out and the arsenal firepower that you have. You see little children, they have no leg and they have no arm, and you see the heartache and the sorrow that's been brought there. And if you're not careful, you'll let that thing set on you. That's why we need the blood of Jesus. Amen. So don't let a guilt complex get into your life and destroy it, because a guilt complex can rest on a lie just like it can rest on the truth. Amen. I have friends who served in Vietnam. They've never been able to put that war behind them. And I've seen so many that it has destroyed their lives. Guilt can be a deceiving lie. And the devil is the father of all lies, and he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So if you're watching by live stream tonight, and if you have fought a war, and if you carried out your duties, and you're fighting this thing, whatever the war was, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive the people that were there, and then walk on in victory, knowing that God will do it. Now, guilt is a killer. It can drive you crazy, too. I mean, that's how bad this thing is I'm talking about. I remember a young lady I worked with at Firestone several years ago. She committed adultery with a man, and it almost ran her crazy. Everywhere she went, she saw people who worked with her where she worked, but they weren't there. That guilt was so heavy that everywhere she went, she saw people. She made one mistake, and that mistake, when she thought about it, all the guilt that came on her, she actually lost her mind trying to deal with this thing. So guilt destroyed her mind, it destroyed her health, it destroyed her home, and ultimately it destroyed her marriage, a guilt complex. But see, the blood of Jesus, it cleanses from all sin. Now, I've met other people who are saved, and yet they're miserable because of their past sins. They're saved, yet they're miserable, and they cannot have the joy that they should have because of past sin. That's why I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look at it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, creation. Old things are passed away. All, behold, stop, look, listen, think. All things have become new. So when you confess your sins and forsake them, God takes care of the rest of the past. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God says, your sins and iniquities, I will remember them no more. That means God won't bring them up against you. God knows everything. But he won't bring it up. He doesn't hold you guilty. The blood of Jesus Christ washed your slate clean. Hallelujah. And you have a right to joy and peace and righteousness and a right to a full life because of the blood and because of the sacrifice that was made by Jesus Christ. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with heaven's ultimate sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, came into this world to save sinners. Hallelujah. And no matter how far down you've gone, the blood reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. And that blood will touch you and change you. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to live, you know, under this thing called guilt. No one has to carry their guilt any further than the cross. Take it to the cross. I'll never forget, you know, how Satan tried to move in on me. I had such joy And I'll never forget what my mother said. And people told me I couldn't have it all. I like to tell this story. I said, I got it, I got it, I got it. I told one man, I said, that's like telling a millionaire you can't have $1 million and he's got millions in the bank. I said, I've got joy. But I walked into my mother's house one day and she was still living. And she pointed that little thing at me. And she said, son, the same Jesus that took your sin problem will take that problem if you will only give it to him. And I went out, and I knew it was the Holy Ghost speaking to me. I prayed at 3 a.m. in the morning. And that God spoke to me during that, reached in my heart, took out the pain I was feeling. I'd never known it to this moment. He infused me with joy. And when I read John 15:11, Jesus said, I want my joy to remain in you and your joy to be full. I tell you, if you build your life on the bedrock of God's word, then the devil, he can't touch you but so much because you got weapons. Jesus, when the enemy came after him in his wilderness experience, and we all go through these things, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get the word for it, tell the devil what the word says, and send him running. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. Point number four. What are the effects of a guilt complex? What can this thing called a guilt complex, what can it do to you? Well, point number A. Have you got these up there? Loneliness. Think about loneliness. That's what can guilt do? It can produce loneliness. A feeling of guilt will cut you off from God, and it will cut you off from other people, and it even cuts you off from those that have hurt you. Amen. When you hurt somebody and you feel guilty of it, you will back away from that person. The same thing is true with God. If you get guilty enough, you'll back away from God. When you should run to God and ask God to help you. Amen. If you steal money and other things from your employer, your guilt will bother you every time you go there. It pays to live right because guilt can produce a feeling of loneliness, and God never intended for man to live alone. He created Adam. He saw that he needed a helpmate, and he gave him one. I tell you what he did. He created man to work. He woke up. And he said, you got a job tend this garden. The woman woke up, and he said, you got this man, take care of him. He created her for relationships. So have a happy marriage. Hallelujah. Amen. What will the guilt complex do? It produces loneliness. And then despair. A feeling of guilt produces a feeling of despair. A feeling of, I have failed in life. And that's the reason you should get rid of it. And then the guilt complex and despair, it will lead to fear. Number C, it causes you to feel that you will never be able to react and retract that offense. How am I going to get rid of this thing? And fear tries to overcome you. See, that person that has a feeling of fear, they feel like, I can never get things right again. That it's all from the devil. It all started with sin. It all started with transgression. And when you understand that and you understand the love of God, then you begin to understand how to live and how to live a victorious life. Because there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be regretted. You don't have to regret your past. You're saved. It's under the blood. You're free. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And when you just start talking like that and living like that, praise God, the fear will leave you. You know, to be made justified, that's what the word justified means. It means to be made just like it never happened. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. You couldn't get rid of your guilt. You couldn't get rid of your sin. You couldn't get rid of the shame. How? How do you get rid of it? Go to the cross. Therefore, being justified, made just as if you had never sinned, justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. And if he's your Lord, praise God, you're free from guilt, free from sin, free from shame. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you're forgiven, God wipes it out and God forgets it. The only thing that God can forget is your sins. He forgets them. He says, I'm not bringing it up against you anymore. Glory to God. When you say, I'm sorry, God said, it's gone. So God doesn't want us to live under loneliness, despair, and fear. How about bitterness? What are the effects of this thing called guilt? Bitterness, a feeling of guilt, often produces bitterness, which can make you angry with yourself. And it also makes you angry with those that were involved in the transgression, in the sin that you committed. It makes you bitter. And when you go out and do something wrong and with somebody else, you can end up hating that person. And you hate the one that you did that with, and it puts bitterness in your heart. Absalom, he wanted Tamar. Amnon wanted Tamar, his sister. If he had gone to the king and asked for her, the king, under those laws, would have given her to him. He could have married her. But he tricked her to cooking a meal for him, and then he raped her. And then he hated her. Became very bitter. And in the end, transgression caused his life to be taken. Amen. Look at the unworthiness. The guilt complex often will cause a person to develop a feeling of unworthiness. I'm unworthy of God's mercy. I am unworthy of forgiveness. And that's why, you know, when religion has taught us, you're unworthy. Well, God thought you were worthy. Amen. Put Colossians 1 and 12 up there, Brother Boo. Colossians 1 and 12. This is a powerful verse of Scripture here. And it says, giving thanks, Colossians 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or who has qualified us, or made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God qualified you. No matter how bad you have sinned, no matter how far the transgression, no matter what has happened, God has qualified you to receive forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Look at Acts 13:46. This is what the Word of God says. Acts 13:46. Paul and Barnabas, they preaching to the Jews. Acts 13:46. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold, and they said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been preached to you. Talking to the Jews, he said, we had to come and preach it to you first. But seeing that you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You are worthy. God paid the price. God the Father qualified you when he gave his son. Anybody and everybody. You don't have to live with his guilt complex. You don't have to feel unworthy. We're not worthy in our own goodness. We're worthy because of the goodness of God and what Jesus did to purchase us with his blood. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Look at resentment. The guilt complex can cause resentment. You resent others. You don't want to be around them. And you end up all alone because of a guilt complex. That's not living. That's dying. That's you're still hanging around, but that's not real living. Real living is joy. It's peace. It's relationship. It's togetherness. It's productivity. Hallelujah. So, look at unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. The guilt complex can cause you to have an unforgiving spirit. I wonder why so many people can't forgive others. Do you imagine this could be the root cause? They cannot forgive themselves. And so, even though God has forgiven them, yet they cannot forgive themselves. They feel guilty. And then, because it says, you know, Jesus said, the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you cannot love yourself and realize God has forgiven you, how can you love your neighbor? How can you have a loving relationship with a husband, wife, or spouse? How can you love your children? It's an impossibility. We have to know the forgiveness of God and the love of God. And when we know that, praise God, there's no guilt, no condemnation. So you can see just how destructive this guilt complex is. A guilt complex can also produce regret. A person feels like they wish they had not done what they did. And they go through life saying, I wished I had done this, and I wished I had done that. Well, if it's done, it's done. And all the feelings of regret that you could ever have, they will never, never, never change it. The only way you can remedy such a situation is to come to Jesus. I remember when I came home from Vietnam, I've told a story. I went to college for my first year. I told my family, I said, I don't fit anywhere. I said, I'm going back to California. I'm going to find out if I'm going to be a Marine the rest of my life, if I want to finish my college. And I went out there, and I've said it many times, worst thing you could ever imagine happened, I showed up out there with me. And I realized while I was there, it's not those people that have the problem, Jerry. You have a problem. You are different. And it took me about a total of 17 years after I came back. This was probably year two or three, you know, to realize I had to go to the cross. The only thing that could fulfill my life was to come to the cross and get total forgiveness. Get my sins under the blood. Then and only then could I go on with my life. But I knew my answer wasn't there. I never became a drugger or a drinker. I knew my answer wasn't there. I couldn't find the answer until finally I went to the cross and I found my answer. Can I get a witness out there? Hallelujah. Amen. See, if we didn't need saving, Jesus wouldn't have come anyway, right? So he knew we were in a mess. He wanted to set us free. He wanted to make us happy. He wanted us to have joy, and he wanted us to have peace inside. So you must receive forgiveness in Jesus' mighty name. A guilt complex is an awful thing. It's a killer. So get rid of it. There's just some of the effects of it. Point number six, what can guilt do in the final analysis? What can it do? Well, it can produce insanity. There are people in mental hospitals. I've been there, walked the halls of them. They're in mental hospitals, and they feel so guilty that they have lost their minds. The devil will torment your mind, and you've got to tell him, I may have done wrong, but I'm forgiven. It's under the blood. I have a buddy from my hometown. He's right here in Wilson, North Carolina. He fought in Vietnam. Thank God he got saved. He had his right mind about him. He got saved. But every time a jet plane would fly over, he would tremble all over and run inside. And that thing tormented him and tormented him and tormented him until his mind snapped. He did get saved. Thank God for that. But, you know, had he known, had he understood what I'm talking about tonight, had he understood, you know, a little more. Revelational knowledge is power. The Word of God, building your life on the bedrock of God's Word, it means something. Had he understood more, he probably never. Had he understood, he would never have had the problems he's had. Amen. So, guilt can produce insanity. What can a guilt complex do to you? It can cause you to commit suicide. Judas Iscariot, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He became so guilty that he went out and he hanged himself. He could have gone to Jesus. Jesus would have forgiven him. He forgave Peter. He restored Peter. But Judas, you know, he had this problem with guilt. He was in a state of guilt. He couldn't get away from it, get out from under it. And the devil said, why don't you take your life? Why don't you kill yourself? And so he listened to the devil, and he went out and he hanged himself. So give no place to the devil. I tell you, guilt is a terrible, terrible thing. And I see people, and I see them burdened down, when all the time, if they're Christians, they should be full of joy. Amen. You can have all the joy you want. You can have the peace of God in the greatest storm that you could ever go through. I've been through some storms, but I can tell you one thing. I've learned where my strength is. My strength is in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My strength is in the Word of God. And when I don't know what to do about a situation, I start praying and I start seeking God and I ask God to give me the victory because I know it belongs to me. And that's why I'm doing that series on reigning in life through one Jesus Christ. If you can learn to reign in life, you can master all of life. We should master life. We should be masters of life. Life should not master us. No situation you're in. If you will go to God and believe God, God will turn it around and God will bless you. It may never change some things on the outside, but God will fix it on the inside for you. You can master life. Paul did die in prison, but he was the master. He wrote, count it all joy when he said, you know, rejoice, rejoice. He's in prison and he's writing letters telling people how to live a victorious Christian life. That's what I'm talking about. Last point, number 7. How do we conquer this guilt complex? Well, you do what David did. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed, Uriah the Hittite. That's a little story I've been researching about Ahithophel, a counselor of David. Ahithophel was his counselor, and in one of the great battles that was going on, and David had to flee, Ahithophel, he told Absalom, who was rising up against David, he said, why don't you have put all the concubines of David on the rooftop and have intimacy with them? Who was Ahithophel? Ahithophel was the granddaddy of Bathsheba. Uriah the Hittite was his kinfolk by law, like a son-in-law. Ahithophel, he carried that thing. He carried that feeling. And he said he would not forgive. He said, that man is guilty. That man is guilty, and I'll get even with him. And when he gave counsel and it wasn't listened to, he knew his life was on the line, and he went out and he hanged himself. He carried that thing so long. Don't carry unforgiveness. Don't carry bitterness. Don't carry a guilt complex. Don't carry them any further than the cross. Carry them to the cross, and you can get forgiveness. Now, let's look at what David did. Look at Psalms 51 and 1. When David was confronted with his sin, he realized that his sin was against God. Godless sorrow. He cried out to God. Look at Psalms 51 and 1. Some of the greatest words in the Bible. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Cleanse me from all my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and only thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That's godless sorrow. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Some of the greatest words right here in the Bible. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted. David knew what it was to be guilty. He knew what it was to feel the condemnation that sin brings. But he also knew what it was to be forgiven. Look at Psalms 103, verse 17. He says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And I love this. God is a generational God, and his righteousness to the children's children. Pastor Ricky. So don't let guilt destroy you. There's freedom at Calvary, and it does not matter how bad anyone has sinned. God is merciful. God gave his son to redeem us, to cleanse us from all sin. That's why I love Romans 8 and 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's how you overcome guilt right there, through the blood of Jesus. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Such amazing grace.
A wretch like me.
I don't know how far down you went. I just know about me. I don't know how much of God's mercy you needed.
I once was lost.
I just know about me.
I'm found.
But I can tell you this. There's joy unspeakable, full of glory. When you taste of that amazing grace. Sing it, church. No more condemnation.
A wretch
like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I was blind.